Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another opening of
another show. So, what is on our plate this week? Well, more shows have ended runs officially. A few have been extended, or in the case of From Riverside to Crazy, even streamed several weeks. And the announcements of future productions continue. The latest, Leslie Odom Jr., who has gone on to films and TV since Hamilton, will be returning to Broadway in an old play written by Ossie Davis to be directed by Kenny Leon. Another play, one that I saw in Los Angeles, actually, called King James, will be coming to New York, too. Now, that one deals with the NBA star LeBron, though he is not a visible character in this two-hander. And a one-night-only benefit reunion concert of Ragtime, originally scheduled for 2020, will take place on Monday, March 27th at the Minskoff Theater. Now, that event will celebrate the 25th anniversary of Ragtime's Broadway opening and will star original cast members Audra McDonald and Brian Stokes Mitchell, plus Kelly O'Hara in the role originally performed by the late Maren Mazey. Well, I am here and awaiting my invitation. Now, as for what's up right now, this past week, 23 shows played on Broadway with about 206,000 tickets sold for a total gross of $25 million. The average ticket price, $125 approximately. The top five shows by gross, The Phantom of the Opera, Funny Girl, Hamilton, Lion King, and MJ the Musical. Now, let's not forget that Phantom several months ago announced a closing date and has been selling like boffo ever since. Well, so much for that. And Lea Michele has single-handedly brought Funny Girl back to life. Now, my only review of the week is another very old show, as in Beckett's Endgame. That one is playing at the Irish Repertory Company. And there's no point in discussing a Beckett plot because who knows what the playwright had in mind. We do see his proverbial pair of windows up high, and they are props of sort. We know this one deals with a difficult, even tyrannical blind man at the end of his game named Ham, and his clownish, miserable attendant named Clove, with whom he shares a love-hate relationship, to say the least. Well, there are two other characters, Ham's mom and dad, who pop up occasionally, and I do mean that literally. They are in trash cans from which their heads emerge. The show is 85 minutes, and what most matters is you are watching two giants of the stage world do their thing. Bill Irwin as the loyal servant who uneasily climbs several ladders to reach those windows, and my personal favorite, John Douglas Thompson, as the bellowing blind man. Now, interestingly, I met the veteran actor Tony Roberts at an event last week, who told me he had played the blind man in Endgame at one time. The character is described in the script as always wearing big glasses, as Thompson does in the new production. Robert said he completely covered his eyes even behind the glasses, so he was for all purposes blind on set. It was the loneliest experience I ever had on a stage, Roberts told me. Acting is about working with others, but the way I chose to do that made it more like a one-man show. Anyway, Endgame is up at the Irish Rep for a while and should do very well. So I met Tony Roberts, along with Marlo Thomas, F. Murray Abraham, and Lila Robbins at Sardi's, where they were celebrating the new memoir of one Julian Schlossberg, a producer of all mediums who has worked with all of those performers and many more. This was nicely done. Each read a short chapter from the book. I have read much of it now myself, and the stories are dishy, but never mean-spirited. Mike Nichols called Julian Schlossberg the nicest man in the business. It's hard to find anyone who disagrees. The book is also useful for anyone who wants to get in the entertainment business. He was in movie studios, television, and theater. There are good life lessons here, ultimately, that you can be tough and still a decent person. The book is called Try Not to Hold It Against Me, and apparently no one did. As for some things to watch this week from home, go to Theater of War's site. The company's latest offering is the Frederick Douglass Project, starring the great actor Keith David. You only have to register to watch, and let's hope it is recorded for future viewings. Also beginning this Friday, you can go to Broadway On Demand, and for free, you can watch the always lively event celebrating the Kleban Prize in Theater. This one will feature the aforementioned Brian Stokes Mitchell, along with Alex Brightman, Richard Maltby, and many more theater names. And if you are interested in new pieces in person, check out the Frigid Fringe Festival. It gives artists an opportunity to let their ingenuity thrive in true support of indie theater community, of the indie theater community. Yes, there is one. 100% of box office proceeds go directly to the artist whose work is being presented. Check out the countless offerings on www.frigid.nyc. Now, I mentioned Funny Girl before. Of course, Lea Michele had arguably the biggest challenge in Broadway history, playing the role forever associated with Barbara Streisand. Well, speaking of Streisand, I have been reading not one, but two books about the 1973 film The Way We Were. This is the 50th anniversary of that one. I interviewed both the authors, who corresponded with most of the living principals. The books clearly will not be for everyone unless, like me, you've seen the movie 100 times and know every line. In fact, I met its director, Sidney Pollack, one night many years ago, and I told him I'd just seen the film on a small cable station. It was the first time it had been shown on TV. I said I could swear there was a brief scene that was wordless but was not in the original. He could not believe that I noticed it and told me Streisand wanted the scene and felt it was important, but he said it would have made for 4 crying scenes in a row. So they made a deal. It could go on when the film first aired on TV. Well, that scene is discussed in these books, but not the quiet pledge that the director made to his leading lady. So that's my scoop for the week. As for next week, I'll discuss some of the complicated decisions being made by the Tony Awards Committee, who is eligible in what categories. It's tricky in most seasons, but with shows like Into the Woods, which had a revolving cast, well, as I said, it's complicated. Oh, yes, and next week I will be seeing the new play with Nathan Lane. Always something to celebrate. But that's it for today's report.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.
A fire that ignites at the bottom of my heart. Ooh, me, oh my. If we open our eyes, I think we're both gonna find that it's a wonderful life. Ha!
Me, oh my, it's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life with you by my side. Me, oh my, it's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life with you by my side.
Yeah. smile, there's a fire that ignites at the bottom of my heart. Ooh, me.